Welcome to this Echo Time Council meeting on Monday, the 3rd of April 2023. I'm your chair, Councillor Steve Gatton. We don't have any members of the press or public present that I can see. Am I correct?
Correct.
So we won't bother with the normal floor. So we'll move straight into item one, which is apologies, please, Lisa.
So we've had apologies for absence from Councillor Lynn Elson, Councillor Frank Cullis, Councillor Tony Woodward, Councillor Fred Cahill, Councillor Eileen Beach and Councillor Alan Whipps. Are there any others?
Yes, I'm worried about speaking. Yes, Councillor Brian Tory.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We move into public speaking, as I said. See anybody, and I'm not aware of anybody that's asked to speak, unless it's from somewhere else. So we'll move on to item two, which is the council meeting minutes to confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held town council on 6th of February 2023. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to point out an anomaly on, I think it's page 535, regarding the appointment of Councillor Tim Dunbar to the bus forum. It appears I have a double because it appears for one of the minutes I proposed him and I seconded him as well. Which I remember the first bit, but I don't remember the second.
Okay, we'll then.
I'll get that corrected. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for noting that.
I don't know, I'll have to look back over my notes, but I'll get it corrected.
With that amendment proposed by Councillor Brian Bailey, seconded by Councillor Pauline Stott. Thank you. So we then move on to matters rising. An update, if there are any updates, Lisa. If not, we'll move on. No councillors have any matters arising?
No.
No? Thank you. So we then move on to item four, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. If members have anything to declare regarding any item on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Does any member have any declarations they wish to make, please? No?
No?
Thank you. If you think of any as we go along, please feel free to raise some declarations. Thank you. So we then move to item five, to resolve that the press and public are excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part two of the agenda as it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part one, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. As you can see, there is one item, which is item 13. So we'll go into part B for that. Thank you. So item six, to receive and consider reports and minutes of the committees, working parties and other local bodies and town clerk and deputy town clerk, district and county councillors as appropriate. As you'll see, the first one is the planning committee, which was held on held on the 30th of January, 13th of February, and the 27th of February. Councillor Joe Whitman, please.
And the 13th of March as well.
Yeah, Councillor Dunbar took that one.
Ah, yes, he did, yeah. Okay. I was just going to say, I'd like to give thanks to Councillor Dunbar for chairing that one. Whilst I was having a fight with the dentist. I present the minutes today.
Proposed by Councillor Joe Whibley, seconded by Councillor Brian Bailey. All those in favour, please show. That's carried. Thank you. We then move to the planning minutes held on the 13th of March 2023, when Councillor Tim Dunbar was the chair.
Yes, put those forward for consideration by the council also. an interesting meeting. Thank you.
So, put, proposed by Councillor Dunbar. Do we have a second, please? Councillor Joe Whipley, all those in favour? Thank you. That's carried. We then move on to the Finance Committee minutes of the meeting held on the 23rd of February. I don't think Councillor Ollie Davey.
Yes, he is.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Davey, I couldn't see. Would you like to speak to him? Sorry.
Obviously, keeping a low profile, as usual. I present the minutes of the Finance Committee for the 23rd of February. Thank you.
Thank you. Could we have a seconder for those, please? Councillor Brian Bailey, thank you. All those in favour, please show. Thank you very much. We now move to the Town Clerk's report as attached. Has anybody any questions, please, to the Town Clerk, Lisa? I can't see any hands raised, so that's the Town Clerk's report is noted then. Thank you very much, Lisa.
There's just one. You asked me today about the Bassett's Farm consultation proposal to change the age range. If anybody's got any comments to make, let me have them or feel free to comment directly. They're lowering the age that they're accepting children from the age of 2, so they won't have a separate preschool, it'll be part of the school itself.
Any comments on that consultation paper? If not, you can, obviously as councillors, you can respond directly yourself. But there's no comments for you then, Lisa, I think.
No, the letter that we received was attached to the report, and it just said that the proposal is to incorporate the preschool element into the school itself. So the actual school roll age will extend from 2 to 11 years. And the preschool will become a nursery class, but children will be registered on the school's roll. Okay.
Thank you. So we note your reports. Thank you. We then move on to the Deputy Town Clerk, which is attached. Are there any comments anybody wish to make? Pass on to Lisa so that can be passed on. See any hands raised, so we now check this report. Thank you. We then move on to the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party notes of the meeting held on the 7th of February 2023. Councillor Dunbar, please.
Yeah, I present those notes to the meeting. Thank you. I don't think there are any proposals, because we've got a separate item on the climate plan.
Are there any questions to the minutes, the Councillor Dunbar, please? No? Okay, thank you. So we note those minutes. Thank you very much. So that brings us on to Exmouth Transport Partnership. Notes of the meeting held on the 21st of February 2023. That's Councillor Dunbar again.
Yes, I present those notes. Any questions, please?
Any questions on those minutes to Councillor Dunbar? No? Thank you. So we note those minutes. Thank you very much. We then move on to the Festival and Events Working Party. Notes of the meetings held on the 23rd of February and the 23rd of March 2023, which are attached. Okay, so Joy Webster, please.
Well, it's all very self-explanatory. What's going on? In the minutes, and I can say that the festival is all seen there. It's looking good as well. This is working really hard.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Can I just say to the chairman, Sideshow are very pleased with the conversations with the town council and are happy to support.
Yes, I've just reported that.
Thank you. Any further questions? No? So we note those minutes. Thank you very much, John. So we then move on to Public Rights of Way Working Party notes the meeting held on the 8th of February 2023. And I think that's Councillor Brewster-Song.
Thank you, Chair. Hopefully everyone had a chance to read the minutes. I could say that the Bacton Valley project is moving forward as we, I believe, Councillor David and myself attended a Zoom to discuss the various options that could be considered by the future council. So we have had that meeting, and Chetna has some notes which she will release shortly. And so I think it's very positive that people have had their say, or the committee has had their say about how the Bacton Valley project will develop. And obviously we're now throwing it out for more members' consultation in the next few months. So I think that's the only important item to raise with you tonight. And apart from that, it's fairly self-explanatory. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Councillor Summer. Any other questions to Councillor Brewster Summer, please? No? Okay, so we note those minutes, sorry. We then come to the Town Maintenance Overview Working Party. Next meeting held on February the 23rd. And to rectify, you'll see that there are two recommendations, and we're taking them to see on line one. The first one, a recommendation that Exmouth Town Council works in partnership with East End District Council and Sea Dog Arts to deliver Fear Park Shelter's art proposal and will contribute 50% of the cost up to £1,600. That any publicity will be equally shared and that the proposal and success will be reviewed before future ongoing annual contributions are agreed. Councillor Ian Curtin, please.
Thanks, Steve. I don't know if everyone's aware, but hopefully you've got a chance to read the proposals. Just to give a little bit of background to you, those of you who don't know, it's obviously the heavily graffitied shelter in the Fleet Park, and it was suggested that we enter into a partnership similar to the same really as along Seafront, the Abode of Love, which, as you know, gets regularly tagged and graffitied, and local members of the art community go along and point over it and try and amend the graffiti into pieces of art. That's the same thing was suggested. So I'm glad to take any questions anybody's got, but I'd like to propose that for acceptance.
Are you moving proposal recommendation one?
Yes, please.
I'll second it.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Joy Vips. Sorry.
Councillor Joy Vips. Cheers, yeah. Can I just ask how much contact has been made with the school? Because I was speaking to the head and the mayor, the outgoing head. He's very much of the view, unfortunately, that there is his responsibility for the children stops when they leave school, which, I mean, I work at school, that's not how it works.
No.
It really isn't. So I'm just wondering how much contact has been made.
The honest answer, Joe, is that I know Chen has been involved in the background of these proposals. I've not had any contact with the school. I don't know. I don't know yourself, Steve.
I have had discussions with the principal, not on this, but on other issues of Fear Park, and he has said exactly what we heard just now, that he's not responsible for what goes on. And I know it's a load of baloney, but that's what they believe. Anyway, back to the... Oh, should I try again? Back to the recommendation. Councillor Manor Chapman, please.
Just leave your mic on, Steve.
To answer Councillor Whitby's query, the police, we've also spent the police to speak to the school, because they, some of the officers, they were still in the school uniform and they were harassing some of the young mothers in the children's play area. So the police have been around there. I have to say I'm very disappointed.
And sorry, can I say as a seconder, I forgot to ask you, Councillor Whips, if you wanted to speak.
I just wanted to say that it is common knowledge now that he is going.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. So fingers crossed the next set will be a lot more approachable and take you to point itself, as Mr. Alexander did, bless him. If you're in school uniform, you're still a part of the school and therefore you would take a very dim view of what was going on in the theatre.
Any other speakers to the recommendation, please? No? So it's proposed by in Councillor Ian Kerr and seconded by Councillor Joy Whips that we endorse the recommendation one. Could you please show? That's carried. Thank you very much. And then we move to recommendation two, a recommendation that Exmouth Town Council purchases and erects a four-armed pole for hanging baskets on the plinth in the Magnolia Centre in place of the former Magnolia Clock, in view of the fact that DDC lampposts can no longer be used for hanging baskets because of the, used to hang baskets. Ian, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, thanks, Sue. This is a bit more straightforward, this one, really. I don't know if you're aware, but it's been decreed that hanging baskets can no longer be hung on lampposts because of the weight issue, apparently. At the last meeting, I suggested that rather than have just that plinth with nothing on it, at least it's a focal point, and it can go as part of the town's floor display. So, I'd like to propose that.
Thank you. Is there a second? Councillor Manny Chapman, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, I think it's an excellent idea, and I was talking to the town clerk earlier on, and the geraniums that are planted in my greenhouse, we've only lost four, so we're doing quite well. So we've got lots of geraniums growing, and it's a good place to put.
Thank you for the use of your greenhouse. Councillor Andrew Tall?
I just thought it's a shame that we couldn't have another clock, but those aren't being expensive to maintain, so a hanging basket would be nice. So.
Okay, Councillor Ollie Daly?
We could always put a clock on top of the hanging basket. I was just going to ask him if we've got a cost for that. Do we have an estimate?
Very good point. And I'm looking.
I haven't seen one.
The honest answer is I'm not aware of the cost. But, I know Chetan was researching it at our last meeting.
You're asking us to sign a blank check here?
Possibly, but I don't think it will be tens of thousands of pounds.
No, it's only about four baskets, I think.
Yeah, it's not like a great model for an hour.
Yeah.
Somebody who was quite keen to get rid of the toilet, which they like when it happened. We had lots of crazy ideas at the time that we could, but this is a really good one. So well done. If somebody isn't 100,000 pounds, yeah, that's my position.
Okay. Can I attend, please?
Yeah, I was just going to say, as a fellow town board member, obviously with Ollie and Joe, just like to say, could we endorse the principle of it, and subject to costs being researched or whatever, so we have a built-in this is a real problem. Can I just suggest that then? At least we've got felt and braces to deal with it.
That would be fine. Yes.
Chair, it's going to be about £40. That's what the rough estimate is. You can buy them at the garden centre, you stick them on your house, and you can buy them for £5.99. The idea is to sell them together and put them on the wall so we can have baskets on.
Thank you for that clarification.
As long as it's under £100, that's not a problem.
I mean, it is not, just to clarify, it's not going to be thousands of pounds. It's a purpose-built one. You can look at the on the internet and research it. It's quite a solid one. So, as we because of its location, as you can imagine, you don't want anything that's rather feeble there. So, but it's nothing.
Well, we've got a proposer and a second. Oh, Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not in favour of agreeing something that no costs. We've been caught once or twice in the past. I won't be specific, but I'm sure members can't find my back. There have been one or two occasions when bills have been considerably more than we expected. Also, regarding the position of this, there was a poll there before which was cut down. So there's a hole. Now, something has to fill that hole, and something has to be secured. Because it's going to be climbed on a regular basis on a Friday and Saturday night for sure. That would be the latest challenge in town, we'll climb the pole. So it needs to be substantial. I agree with it in principle, but I can't see that we should agree with it without a price. Because it could run into hundreds or even thousands of pounds. That's my concern.
Councillor Manning Chapman.
Chairman, the pole's going to be about 4 feet tall. Yeah. 4 or 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to climb it.
Right?
There was no mention of that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take out the process,
sorry,
and then we'll go to the
floor. I think it's a very good proposal. And obviously, if anyone is concerned, as Councillor Chapman rightly said, perhaps they should visit the local garden centre to get an idea of costings involved. As I have absolute confidence, it won't go over budget. So I think it's a very good idea.
Well, we've got a proposal. I did say I'd just take Councillor Desarme and then we move on. Is it?
Well, I was just going to say, if we put the budget at a maximum of £200, if it's only one that has to come back to this council.
I think it'll be more than £200 because, because we'll have to buy, one from, one of the companies that provide public realm products, because you're going to be hanging 4 hanging baskets from it. It's going to be quite heavy, but there are companies that provide the same companies that we buy the planters from and the railing planters from. I was just having a look to see if I could see one on there. We have got money in the town maintenance budget that's unspent. But if you wanted to put a limit on it, including installation charges, I think you probably need to budget up to £2,000, including installation. Because it'll need to be, but it'll need to be fixed in, it'll need to be cemented in. I think you're looking at more than £100 for a commercial grade one. Because it's a freestanding one with 4 arms, isn't it, that you're looking at?
Yeah,
I do think you're looking at more than £100.
How much then are tower baskets?
Our metal towers were made for us by a metalsmith person, and they're so old. I wouldn't like to say what the replacement cost for those is. But the 3-tier planters, I think the 3-tier planters that Exmouth in Bloom have installed recently, for example. I mean, they are several hundred pounds each because they're robust, they're built to last, and they're self-watering. If you can either set a budget or you can ask us to bring it back via another recommendation from the Town Maintenance Working Party once Chetna's clarified what the cost will be.
So if it's within the town maintenance budget, then there isn't a problem, is there? Because
there shouldn't be. There should be, because that's already been agreed.
Can I make a suggestion? I mean, we've heard what the town clerk has said. Thank you for that clarification. Money is in the budget, it's there. Can I suggest that we say that we endorse a recommendation and that we put a limit up to £2,000, and I'm sure it will be probably.
Chair, how can we do that if it's coming out of town maintenance budget, which has already been agreed? You can't do that. You can't simply say town maintenance. You can't spend your budget because council have already agreed the budget.
We can take some from.
If it's in budget for the town maintenance, then it's there's not one, isn't there?
Steve, I was going to say, if it's not a problem then, if it's coming out of their budget, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, no, it shouldn't
be. Obviously, they don't want to, it to be too expensive, but no. I thought that we don't need to put a limit on it.
I think it's more the principle of installing it on that in that area. I think that's more the issue rather than the actual stand itself.
Can I just ask for your advice, and Lisa, what would be the best thing to do? I'm conscious that obviously if we're going to go for it, we need to go for it soon because it's going to go in because of, you know, the judgment for Rexmouth and Blaine.
Well, I think as long as it can be covered out of the current year revenue budget, that the principles should be agreed and we just get on with it, personally.
On that advice, then, all those in favour of the recommendation?
Thank you.
Any against?
Thank you.
One. Any abstentions? One. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. So, you're happy that we then note the rest of the town maintenance minutes. Thank you very much. We then move on to the town premises working party notes the meeting held on the 15th of March 2023, which are attached in the red. I think they're quite self-explanatory, and we've got no members of the public or press here. You will see that we discussed the heads of term and asked Lisa, the town clerk, to go away to get some more information, if you like. And also that we, as a group, went over to have a look at the Baskin Hall that is up for sale. And it was in our opinion that it wouldn't be suitable for the needs of the town council. So we're still in the position of where we're here. Lisa, would you like to say anything?
No, I've gone back to East Devon District Council with the councillors' queries on the draft heads of terms, but I haven't had any feedback yet.
Thank you. Councillor Bruce Sam.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think it's very, very positive suggestion what you made, Lisa, and I just wonder whether you can have flexibility with regard to the use of this room, perhaps making this room more kind of council-friendly as it was. I know we took a lot of stuff into that little room downstairs when we became tenants here, but I'm wondering whether we can actually make it more excellent town council-friendly with even posters or something, because obviously until we find suitable premises. I know we are renting from East Devon, but I don't know, it's just the public might like to know that, you know, what they are at the town council notes. I know
we've tried.
We've got the council changes picture up there. So I'm not suggesting we have the picture, but as we are tenants.
Council Desarin, we've tried and permission has been refused. An exception was made for Councillor Jeff Chamberlain's picture because his wife spoke to Mark Williams directly, and as he was the first chairman of Exmouth Town Council, an exception was made. But the district council's made it quite clear that we are not allowed to put any of our memorabilia up in the demised areas. We're only allowed to have it in our own space. If the council chamber and the committee room came into our demised area, then that would be down to us.
But maybe we ought to pass it. I mean, even if it's posted about welcome next to our senior, you've seen that.
We've asked and they won't allow us.
I personally feel very passionate, and I think that it gives the sense of feeling of what Exmouth Town Council is rather than renting bills. That's the only point that I'm making. I'm not saying that Lisa or the mayor has done anything bad. I'm saying that
I agree with you, Bruce.
Yeah. We've had lots of fights about it, yes. Bruce.
No, yeah. I agree with you, but I just feel I should raise that.
This is why they don't have lots of weddings in here now.
We know what you're saying.
I agree.
I'm not having a go at anybody. I just think we ought to raise that point as we are.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments to the minutes? Can't see anybody. So we'll note those minutes. Thank you. So we then move on to the Waterfront Working Party inspection report for the meeting held on the 21st of March. Councillor Pauline Stock.
Yeah,
because this is only, you know, walking along the seafront, inspecting what there is. Usually we only do it, we only have it on here, when it's actually meetings in the committee room.
I think it's because it was the last meeting of the year, you know, and we thought councillors might be interested in seeing what was noted as part of that waterfront working party. It's not accompanied by any meeting notes, it is just the inspection report. Yep.
Right, yeah, thanks. Any queries on it? Most of the things were like Devon County things.
Thank you for pointing out these issues. And, thank you very much. So, no questions? No? So we note those minutes. Thank you very much. Spare everyone a minute, please. Okay, so we now move on to reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. We start with the Web Health and Wellbeing Board. Councillor David Paul, notes of the meeting held on the 2nd of March 2023 are attached. Any comments to Councillor David Port, please? I can't see anybody. Did you want to say anything, David?
Thank you, Chair. It's looking all right. I'll answer any questions, but I think I think it's the final meeting of this cycle, which is beginning to work, coming together on behalf of the expert area. So I'm really pleased with all the bodies and now functioning together.
Thank you. Well, that's good news. Any comments to David? No? So we note those minutes. Thank you very much. So we then move on to the Fair Trade Expert, Councillor Tim Dunbar, please.
Apologies for not presenting a written report this time. To report on the Fair Trade Fortnight, which happened end of February, beginning of March. In circumstances, I thought it went quite well. We just referred to this council chamber, and we very much wanted, as a group, to have our meeting, our big meeting, with the random copy. We wanted to have it in here, but that was denied, as Lisa has explained. And we ended up having it in the Salvation Army Wars. Steve was there, among others. Some councillors came, which was good. I think it was a relatively successful event. We're also coming up to the Fair Trade Renewal, and that, because of COVID, that really is running a year or 18 months late, but when the elections are completed in May, then there's going to be a coming together and people will start looking at renewal at that point. Other than that, I haven't really got anything to say.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Charles. I'm sure you recall you and I, Aurora, attended this event.
Yes,
it was a very, very interesting event. I thought the coffee producers did a very good presentation. And the coffee and the cakes were excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you to all those from the town council that came along. It's nice to be able to, and important that we support the fair trade. Are you happy that we know councillor's verbal report? Thank you. So we move on to item 3, placemaking in Exmouth Town and Seafront Group. Councillor Aurora Bailey, notes of the meeting held on the 14th of March 2023 for a chance. Councillor Aurora Bailey, please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Right, you saw the report. What East Devon has done, they've taken on a new consultant now called Mr. Ashley Dunseith. So now we've got the project manager, which is Jerry Mills, and we've got this new consultant they've taken on called Ashley Dunseith. What he's going to do, I have no idea, Ashley. All the time we've been on this placemaking, all we've done really is put in some bike racks cleaned it up a bit. I mean, it is cleaner there and it is looking a lot better, but we haven't done much else. As far as I'm aware, Harbourview Cafe has got another year for this summer. But anything else, it's like it was last year. They've asked that the food, you know, the food people that were there, but it's all temporary. There is nothing on that site that's permanent. So I don't know what's going to happen to that site. I, for one, just want to save the play park if we don't save anything else on that site, because one, it's free, and you know, we need it for the children because their well-being needs to be considered as well as the adults. And I feel that whoever takes on this, please try and save the park if you can't do anything else on there. It's all temporary, I can't stand, there's nothing permanent on that site. It's been really tough doing it. I've enjoyed doing it, but I'd like to carry it through. And also, Chair, can I just say, whoever's standing in May, good luck to you all, and I wish you well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Bruce to start.
Thank you very much, Chair. As a fellow participant on this service, on this Zoom, I think it was disappointing that we haven't achieved as much as we would like to achieve. And I think I refer members to my article which I wrote about this, because I feel that the fitness space and the event space have not been as well used as we would have liked as both as a district and a town council. And I think that the next council moving forward needs to reflect on how it can make the area work for the benefit of the town, as Councillor Bailey has quite rightly pointed out in her report. And I think we need to be very closely monitoring this as a town council to see if the wishes of the town are actually going to be fulfilled at the end of the day. So I thank you very much for that comment, Chair, and leave it with others to speak further.
Last week there was a Banksy, one of these Banksy fairground things, and it was put on the event space. That was sort of like last Thursday. By the weekend, it had gone. Yeah. Nowhere. So, I mean, have they let that space out, or somebody just decided to come along and put it there? And it just seems really funny because it was actually on the fitness space.
That would have to go through Kate and Dave down at Camperdown.
So where's it? Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's not there now. It was there for 2 days. Never opened around it. But it's just interesting. And also, it's the big wheel coming back again, because there's a lot of people who have said it's the big wheel coming back again. I don't know why they mentioned it at all.
It was on advertised. And I think it was 3 days from the job they were having this firm were putting on fancy castles. It was an East Devon through Camperdown thing.
No, I believe it was organised through LK.
Okay. We know your comments. Councillor Ollie Davies, sorry.
Thank you. I understand Councillor Bailey's frustration at how long it's taken to make anything permanent happen along the seafront. But let's remember how long it has been as a kind of derelict area, really. And what happened was the previous administration closed all the businesses that were there and then opened it up to developers, all of whom came and went. So I think we've got to remember we have had a consultation. We've now got a consultant who's going to come forward with some suggestions. And I know we've had a few consultations, but I think I would rather take the time and get it right rather than have people just come and say, well, let's stick a hotel here or something that people in Exmouth don't want, definitely not residential. And I'll just say about the temporary space, it was agreed at a meeting to have a kind of permanent planning permission to have temporary events on the Queen's Drive space. So actually, it is designated as a temporary event space and a seasonal one. pitches there. So that site is actually being used and being well used. And the fitness space, well, we shall see. It's only just really been created. It's only had one season.
Thank you. Can I just have a chat?
Thank you, Chair. Just for clarity, you cannot, East Devon did have a lot of complaints about things that were happening down on Queen's Drive. There were a lot of problems going on with some of the tenants, not all of them, but on some of them, which are public, and therefore, you know, although it's a public space, these problems were confidential and cannot be put in the public domain. So therefore it was agreed that they should be shut down and it should be opened out. One, for people to come forward and put their views forward. A developer came forward, which councillors that have been here some time from there, was a developer called Maury. We voted against Maury, which are the East Devon District Council. They haven't done due diligence on that company. And it was kicked out. We actually got a background report on them and we didn't like them. So that was actually kicked out. Years ago, that area actually did have cottages on it, it was residential. But we decided that we didn't want to be residential. It then came forward that the group that didn't want anything on the seafront came forward and said that they wanted a private consultation with an independent consultant, and they put forward the name of the independent consultant, which I think he cost £50,000 for looking at the site. He came forward, put the plans forward, and no one liked them. So we've gone back to the drawing board, and Jerry's come forward, and he's done exactly what we did before, which is different consultations in. We had them in the library, in the town hall. We have them everywhere. Jerry's done exactly the same. And now we have another consultant coming forward, so we will see what he comes up with. But that is actually the running of the events surrounding Queen's Drive. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so you'll be happy that we know those minutes. Yes?
Can
Steve? Councillor Dunford, sorry.
Can I just make one suggestion? In the past, when the events that Councillor Chapman's just been referring to took place, we had fairly regular and okay, they were confidential meetings, but with the portfolio holder at EDDC, and I wondered whether to keep us all in the picture, it depends what happens on May the 4th, what Council decide at EDDC, but I would like to see those proposals and that brought into this chamber and discussed with all excellent councillors in the way of
Can I comment on that, please?
Lisa would like to make a comment, please.
Yes, just to say that if you recall, the framework in which that happened was when we had the Exmouth Regeneration Board that met privately. So the portfolio holder used to have the meetings with the town council because the regen board meetings were not open to the public. When the Queen's Drive Delivery Group, now placemaking in Exmouth, became a public meeting, the alternative framework that was suggested to us was that we nominated two people to sit on that committee. And those people that sit on that committee are supposed to feedback and take our views forward to that committee, which is Aurora and Steve.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that there'll be any appetite for the portfolio holder to meet with the town council separately, because I think the framework that's being provided through the placemaking, that's the whole reason they've given us two places on that committee, is so that we've got that link in with the district council.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll just take Councillor Brian Bailey and then we'll move on, please.
Thank you, Chair. I've been fortunate enough to
following this for a long time. This has been going on now for 10 years. Has the previous administration to this been successful in putting forward a hotel and various other things which Castle Council said? This would be making money and contributing to East Government. But it just stopped. They were pushing it, but then the administration that they're now, I was told by the chief executive and by the chairman of the present authority, there is no appetite for a hotel. May I just make my point? My point is, this is for 25 years it took to get the ocean built. I can see this going on another 25 years. And for administration, which every other word is transparency, it's not transparent. If you try and find out, well, what's this new person going to do? Nobody will tell you. What's this new person going to do? Is he going to bring in this, that, and the other? Oh, no, it's all highly confidential. Because it's commercially sensitive. That's a load of absolute rubbish. Especially being said to the members of the committee. This is why the members of the committee and the members who represent us here, including yourself and Bruce, are not getting the information. It's either because there is no information or they're not passing it on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can I just make a point as a chair? You all know that we're in peril at the moment and we're not supposed to be making political points. So I'm not saying you are, but can we just remember that in case I get myself in hot water as a chair? Right. So if you agree, we'll note the minutes, please. Thank you.
Noted.
Could somebody be so kind as to put the lights on? It's a bit dark down this end.
Yeah, thank
you. Thank you very much. He said that every night yours, not me. Okay, thank you. So we move on to the
20. Could we? I think the recording is going to pick up quite a lot of.
Yeah.
So, could we have one person speaking at a time, please? Thank you.
Right, we move on to the Expert Twinning Association, Councillor Tim Thumper, to provide an update. Councillor Thumper, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Expert Twinning Association, after last year's successful visits of us to Langevier in Germany and Dinon's group, other way around, Langevier to here, and Dinon were visited by Exmouth. After that, we're reversing the situation this year, and there's a group coming from Dinon in May, and we are going as a group to Langevier in August. Things are really beginning to liven up now, but I think COVID has taken its toll, and our groups are, I think, rather smaller now than they were before the pandemic. So, but let it be said that we're not letting our forebears, including Councillor Brenda Taylor and Councillor John Taylor, who were in the founding group of the French Twinning. We're not letting them down. We are carrying on. Thank you, Chairman.
You're happy to receive that program, Daniel? Thank you, Councillor Dunford. So we move on to the Ancestry Management Partnership. Councillor Bruce Tassaran, notes of the meeting held on the 7th of March 2023. Councillor Bruce Tassaran, please.
So, thank you, Chair. It was my great pleasure to be able to attend this meeting. I must confess that I hadn't attended in a while, so I was able to go into this meeting, and I draw your attention to the budget, which the anticipated income is 64,264. We should have a surplus of around 13,000, which is very good. And I also draw your attention to the approval of the 2023-24 delivery plan. Basically, that hasn't been fully agreed yet. And obviously, if any members do have any other comments or feedback, I would be more than happy to see if it could be fed back to the partnership. You can see the delivery plan 2022 2023 highlight report. And then, as I said, we were going to agree this, but I think still that members should have more time to consult with those bodies like yourselves in case further amendments were to be made. So if anyone does have any suggestions, do please ping me an email and I'll be happy to follow it up. And that concludes my report on that. Thank you very much indeed, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions to Councillor Sullivan, please? No? So we have those minutes, thank you. We then move on to District Council's reports. Can I firstly say thank you to Councillor Joe Whitley and Councillor Peter Simon for their written reports, thank you. Any questions to those reports or any other District Councillor wish to make any comments or any reports? I don't see any hands raised. Oh, sorry, I thought. Thank you. So we note those reports and thank you. We then move on to County Councillors' reports. Do we have a County Councillor?
No County Councillors present.
We're filling potholes.
Thank you. Okay, so then we then. Thank you. We then move on to item 7, to reaffirm the Council's delegation scheme as a council. And this is obviously, because obviously we're going into election, we need to have a delegation for Lisa. And you will note in the paper that where we had it for COVID, it now says for because of the elections and the time period before we can have a planning committee and a full council. Lisa, do you want to say anything?
No, Councillor Nicholas pointed out that the numbering's gone awry in that attachment, so I will need to get that corrected. But this is essentially just to make sure that we can act in that interim period between the election and the new council being formed. The annual town council meeting is on the 19th or 20th of May? What did I say? 22nd of May. So between the elections and the 22nd of May, it's very likely that we're going to have to respond to planning, some planning applications, and we're seeking to do that under delegated authority in much the same way that we responded during the COVID pandemic. We'll consult with members and then we will submit comments under delegation and any other business that might arise. I'd said to Steve today, I'm a little bit nervous about banking. Because we've got 4 banking signatories, it takes an age to get new banking signatories added to our bank account. So, you know, it's to cover things like that where we might have some issues in that interim period while we're getting new councillors signed up and on board.
It's something that we've got to have, and it's really sensible. Are there any questions? If not, can I have a proposal or a second? Is that a question or a pose?
Question. Can I ask, during this period, as it's so close to coronation, have we got someone doing the flags for us?
Yes.
I propose.
One second. Councillor Julie Whips proposed and seconded by Councillor. All those in favour of that? Thank you. And I hear what you say.
Can I just say that the Festival and Events Working Party has approved the purchase of some special coronation flags that are going up on all the flagpoles throughout the town.
And
some bunting and some lamp column motifs as well. And it'll be the grounds maintenance team that will put all those things up. And the necessary licences are already in place with Devon County Council to use cherry pickers on the highway, etc. So the town will hopefully look very, very nice for the coronation weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah. We took a vote on that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Item A, and this is probably this for the same reasons, to ratify the procurement of the electronic devices for new members following the elections on May the 4th, 23, and give delegated authority to the town clerk to work in conjunction with the council's IT provider to source the best devices possible within the administration reserves budget of £15,000. I think that again is self-explanatory, but Lisa, would you like to say anything?
So we have 4 or 5 tablets that are currently in use, And the proposal is that we purchase one for every councillor, so that every councillor will have an Exmouth Town Council owned device. Part of that is around GDPR, because if we can limit council business to council owned devices, in the event of there being a data access request, etc., I know that all the council business has been conducted on a single device, so it, from a data protection aspect. But also we're aware that, you know, councillors probably don't want council business intermingled with their personal stuff on their personal devices. So we've set a budget of £15,000 because that's what we've got in the administration reserves. We think we'll get probably the Samsung tablets, similar to what Ian's got. Because it does what we need it to do, and it will enable councillors to access the Office 365 accounts that we've set up on your behalf, access your emails, access agendas, that sort of thing. What I'm discussing with ACS Solutions at the moment is the scope to have that under some sort of centralised management scheme, so that if there are updates, that they can be rolled out through a central platform rather than every councillor having to bring their device in and have them manually updated. So there may be some IT costs as well as the hardware costs, but if I could have delegated authority to use that budget, I will work with ACS to come up with the best solution within that budget available.
Any questions to this?
Maddie.
Councillor Manager.
Yes. Can I ask, has the General ordered some electoral registers?
So we are not responsible for the electoral register anymore?
No, I know you're not. But what I'm worried about is members of the public contacting our staff.
They can't contact us. If our reception staff know that if members of the public want to view the electoral roll, they have to view it on the ground floor, because East Devon District Council now hold the public register.
Right.
I have a copy of the full register electronically. Yeah. That is not for public viewing. It's for me to facilitate inquiries or, you know... Yeah. But the public one, because you know you can elect not to have your name put on the register, the public register, so it's not the full register. The one that's available to the public is downstairs in reception, and it's now managed by East Devon District Council, not managed by our team.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Any member of the public, they have to go downstairs.
Yeah.
If anybody wishes to view it downstairs,
Yeah.
Okay, so could I have a proposal in the second? Councillor Joy Whit, Councillor Ian Kirby, second. All those in favour, please show.
Thank you.
Can we just have one week? We move on then to item 9, to review and approve the Council's risk management policy and risk assessment for 2022-2023, which paperwork is attached. Lisa.
So this is part of the annual due diligence that we have to do for year end. I've put it through now. Sometimes we've done it at the annual town council meeting, but it seemed to make sense to me to bring some of these annual things forward so that the current council that's familiar with council business has sight of them before the elections. But it's the annual risk management policy and risk assessment that we have to complete in respect of the external audit. I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah. Any questions? No? Could I have a proposal and second one, please? Councillor Joe Woodley, seconded by Councillor Vanny Chapman. All those in favour, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. We then then move on to item 2, to review and approve the Council's investment strategy for 2022-2023. Lisa, again, please.
Yes, so similarly, this is one of the annual reviews that we have to do. It's been refreshed to reflect the fact that we have invested more money in the CCLA Public Sector Deposit Fund. Councillors on the Finance Committee will be aware that we agreed at the last November finance meeting, I believe, that we would transfer all of the accrued SIL money, as well as our general reserves, into the public sector deposit fund, which is now earning a little bit of interest for us. That's about £800,000, and that represents £200,000 of general reserves, which we have to maintain as a minimum, and just over £600,000 in accrued SIL receipts, which is made up of £400,000 that we've committed to the Dean Anne Way extension and £200,000 that the council's agreed to spend on the Bapton Valley project. So they're quite discrete amounts that have been transferred over until such times as they're needed. But we can get the transfer the money out with 24 hours notice, so it's not a long-term investment. But the investment strategy was updated to reflect that, and the fact that we'd taken advice from Thomas Westcott Chartered accountants in respect of the trust funds and some work that we've been doing around the trust fund investments, which again has been through the trust fund working party.
Any questions? Councillor Tindall.
Yeah. I know I've become a bit of a pain on this, but I'm going to ask what ethical points this new investment scheme has. We've discussed this in the past, and I just wondered whether there's any new information about that.
No, but when... I don't have it to hand, Tim, but I can certainly let you have it after the meeting. But when we spoke to Thomas Westcott around the investments related to the trust funds, we were quite clear on the ethical requirements. And the public sector deposit funds, they're all cash. They're cash deposits. So again, they're considered low risk in terms of ethics because they're just cash. They're cash. I forget the finance term for them, but they're cash deposit certificates and that sort of thing. So, but I can provide that information separately for you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. No further questions? If I could have a motion, second, please. Councillor Joy Wetts. Seconded by Councillor Tim Dunbar. Those in favour, please show.
Thank you.
Then we move on to
Number 11,
to review and approve the Council's statements of internal control for 2022-23 as COVID attached information. I think that's, again, it's quite explanatory. Any questions to Lisa, if you've got any, please? Can't see any hands. Did you want to say anything?
No, it's another statutory piece of work that we have to do for audit.
Councillor Joy Wetts proposing, seconded by Mr. Joe Whipley. All those in favour, please show. Thank you. That's carried. We then move to item 12, where we welcome Zoe Cooper, our new Climate and Environment and Ecological Officer. Sorry if I got that wrong. to adopt the climate plan for Exmouth Town Council, can I say I think it's an excellent plan and it's written in language that I understand. So I'll hand over to you and then Tim Dunbar, Mr. Chair, if there's anything else you wish to say. Zoe.
Okay, thank you. I'm assuming that everybody has received and had a read through the climate plan. Essentially, it's a culmination of everything that I've learned. I obviously have lots of training and learning from Lisa, but I've also looked at other town and parish climate plans. I've looked at East Devon's climate plan and also Devon County's carbon plan. I've also met with Penny Reed from Devon County and obviously have a lot of liaison with Catherine Causey. I've also looked at NALC documentation and DALC documentation, so I have been pouring through mountains of research and This climate plan is a combination of that research, but it's also building on all of the really excellent work that Exmouth has done to date. So I was really pleasantly surprised at all of the initiatives that had already been taken. So, you know, it wasn't a case of starting from scratch, it's a case of building on a really, really solid foundation. And just, I think for me, it was about showcasing to Exmouth residents how much has been done. I mean, you have a climate and ecological emergency resilience officer, So it's building on the solid foundation, but it's also showcasing what we're doing. And as you've probably seen, we've launched our social media since I joined. So we're putting out three private posts or climate and ecological emergency relevant posts a week, showcasing what we're doing, also talking about other local initiatives, other things that EBBC are doing, and so on. We have our own tea party where we've actually looked at our own, like, council staff carbon footprints and talked about how we can reduce them. And we've looked at what we can do in the office, and we've moved now to using sustainable products. We've got, you know, we're buying in more sustainable free trade, fair trade, and environmentally friendly products. And we're looking to do this with all of our suppliers. So it's about sort of leading by example and showcasing. It's also about how we, our own procurement policies, who we're working with, measuring our carbon footprint and also theirs. And I think the main area of influence that we have, obviously we don't have plans and buildings, but we can go out into the community and we can do lots of outreach, and we can kind of talk to the community about how they can improve their carbon footprints, how they can reduce their energy bills, how they can reduce waste, how they can improve energy and transport. So there's a lot in there about educating, engaging, informing, and just generally helping some of the other groups in Exmouth, because what I've noticed is lots of really great initiatives, but they're not always very joined up. So there's a little bit of duplication of efforts. So if we can kind of make it a little bit more transparent what's happening in Exmouth, then I can help to kind of coordinate and convene. So we have a tree forum about to be convened in May. We've had about 8 interested people come forward and say they'd like to join. So we can help to convene and coordinate, but also help to inform and educate. So that's the sort of the key areas of influence I think we can have as
Anyone have
any questions about the climate plan?
Yeah,
thank you. Yes, thank you, sir. That was a very superb presentation. I just quickly glanced through it, and I note that point two, you were looking for synergies and outreach opportunities between the Devon States Trust and the Woodland Trust, and you just mentioned convene and educate. How does that square up with the other business outlook in Devon with their development? Do you feel there are some conflicts? Because on the one hand, Devon is telling us this very positive story, and on the other hand, their development arm is going about certain developments. I'm not starting out off at this meeting, but we all know what I'm talking about, and I wonder how you go about relating that to make them known. And even the National Trust weren't happy, as I recall, with the Dean and Way extension for the original proposals.
Well, I have reached out to Clinton Devon. I haven't had a reply yet. So I've reached out to 3 or 4 different people there, specifically to invite them to join the Tree Forum. I thought that would be a good sort of start for the conversation. So at the moment, I completely see that conflict of interests. One thing that's part of the climate plan is to have a look at our terms of reference and make sure that climate and sustainability is in all of our working party policies and guidelines, and planning is no different. But I haven't really got, I guess I don't have an answer for you because I haven't had any contact with Clinton Devon States yet.
But it's not for the want of trying.
Not for the want of trying.
I just wanted to highlight that.
No, I think it's a very serious concern, and it is on my radar. Thank you.
Councillor Madigan.
What about the wildlife and wild habitats in our woodlands? Because those of us sort of north of town, we have a lot of woodlands there, and we do have owls and bats and things like that, which is why a lot of the residents up our area get very, very upset if any tree is felled and developers and things like that. Have you been in touch with any of the sort of the Bat Society or any of those in the area? Because
no,
they are around.
No, but I will do. Actually, I have invited various concerned parties to the Tree Forum, and we are about to, I was going to raise this at our working party tomorrow, but I'd like us to launch a hedgehog highway campaign and buy a bunch of hedgehog highways, and then maybe on social media, maybe on Instagram, we can run a competition and we can give them away.
We have got foxes as well around our area.
Mm-hmm.
And toads.
And toads.
Yeah.
So East Devon are also, they've just launched their wildlife and biodiversity campaign today, which we're going to help them to promote. And that is all about doing your own bit. So even if you only have a very small outside space, a window box, or maybe you have half an acre of land, you can still do something.
Yeah, yeah, but we're looking at the bigger area because we've, we on this town council have actually said to East Devon about trees, about the bats, about the newts and things like that, and we didn't find anyone at East Devon that was on the same wavelength.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right, well, let me put this on my list of things to look into. And make sure that's the agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you want to add anything?
I think I'll be Ollie's.
Oh, sorry, Ollie.
Again. That's all right. I was just going to suggest maybe making contact with the Devon Wildlife Trust. You've probably been in touch with them already.
And they are keen to join the tree forum, so they're one of the guesses that we've had. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. And there is a local. Sarah Butcher in that group is very knowledgeable on the bats, and I've been on a bat walk with her, which was fantastic.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
The bat detectors, absolutely. Yeah,
okay,
great fun.
Okay, thank you for that, Zoe. Excellent report. Councillor Dunphy, did you want to add anything?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much, Zoe, for the work you've done. And this very clear, excellent report that you put forward, and I really appreciate all the hard work you've done since that first day that Ollie and Lisa and myself met you in this room here. Yeah, and you have, as you say, learnt an awful lot, but then you brought an awful lot to us in the first place from where you've been doing work in Enfield. So, you know, to, from a big city to a medium-sized town, you know, it's a great transformation. What I think, one of the big things that I think you've achieved, I mean, yes, we had done quite a lot of work in Exmouth Town Council, and I think you can see with the range of councillors around us, most of us, in one way or another, are concerned environmentally and ecologically. So we do, you know, we wanted you in that position. But what you've done is you've put a system around this, you've codified it all, you've laid it out as a plan. What we did before was very much ad hoc through committees and all the rest of it, whereas I think now we have a way of going forward. The other thing I'd like to say particularly is we've always emphasise partnerships in what we've done, and we made a particular partner of Transition Exmouth, and I know Zoe, you've joined Transition Exmouth and you're working along with them too, so I think the whole thing bodes very well for the future, and I hope that those of us who are around after May, you know, continue to work with you in that way. Thank you very much.
The plan has been documented and shared, but even since then we've made quite a lot of progress. We've got new initiatives off the ground. So I just wanted to say that it is a working document. It's flexible. The climate change crisis is happening all the time. Biodiversity loss is happening all the time. So this document will be updated frequently. I'll put it on the website. I'll update it as often as I can, and it will certainly get updated.
Thank you, sir, for all your hard work. The question I'd like to ask, seeing as Councillor Langer mentioned bats, I got very involved with the bat problem that he studied some many years ago when I was a member of East Devon. And much to my dismay, I discovered that if you get a license from the Environment Agency in English Nature, so that you can carry on doing your development, you have to build a bat hotel and
you don't have to capture the rats in any way and put them in the hotel. That's it. Which is pathetic. It really is pathetic. It's far from adequate. Millions of rats throughout the country are lost through this pathetic process. So it doesn't actually protect the bats, as it eventually says. It's just a license to destroy them. I wonder if you could, during your research, perhaps find other ways that we could properly protect the bats. This would involve trying to encourage English nature and the environment agency. But I think if enough pressure is put on the aforementioned groups by people such as yourself, with qualifications and definite knowledge of this, we could stop this horrible problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Payne. Right, well, we've had the report presented to us that we need to endorse it. So, Councillor Joe Wibley proposing. Seconder, Councillor Ian Kirby. All those in favour, please show. Any against? Any abstentions?
Unanimous.
That's unanimous.